If you would please turn in your Bibles to the little book of 3 John. It's right, of course, near the end of the New Testament. This week we conclude a brief look at the Great Commission, particularly the practical implications of the Great Commission on a local congregation, in particular concerning missionaries in foreign fields and so on. That's why we have the flags out again this Sunday. But I think the Lord did a great service to the church, a great blessing, when he included the book of 3 John. Because I particularly think that 3 John primarily deals with church support of missionaries. Now, in their context, it was perhaps better to say itinerant preachers, traveling preachers. But yet, those that had been sent out to spread the gospel and how a local congregation should relate to them. So it's 15 verses. We're going to read the entire book. And then ask, would you get a good report? Would you get a good report? 3 John, verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you were walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Let's pray. Father, the church, of course, has been tremendously blessed because of the miracle of inspiration that you have left us your word, the scriptures, the Bible. And you have seen to it that throughout the centuries, the millennia, throughout the ends of the earth, the Word of God is spread. And Lord, we believe that the Word of God is powerful and alive and sharper than even a two-edged sword. Our belief is in your Word. The power is in the Word. It's the Word of the Gospel. And even as far back as the early church, we see this spread by men and women who went out for the sake of the name of Jesus with the truth. And that continues on to this day. And I think we have a lot to learn from this passage as we follow in their footsteps, I pray. Amen. Last week, we learned from Acts 13 that spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth takes a cooperative effort. It takes teamwork, like we see in verse 8. Therefore, we ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers. It takes teammates. It takes teamwork. Now, although many Bible teachers, and perhaps no doubt your study Bible, they will say that 3 John is about hospitality. And it is. There's no doubt about that. It's about hospitality. But to me, the question is, well, who particularly was it written for us to be hospitable to? This small book was written with the relationship between the sending church and the missionary in mind. To whom is John wanting them to be hospitable? It's to those that went out for the sake of the name. It's for those who went out to spread the truth. That is who the church was to be hospitable to. That doesn't mean they weren't to be hospitable to all strangers. We know that from the rest of the New Testament. We certainly are. But the strangers that are particularly in focus here were those who were sent out. Ironically, the theme of 2 John is inhospitality. 2 John was written for us to be inhospitable to false teachers, right? If you've read 2 John. We're not to help those who are spreading a false gospel. We're not to invite them in if they're spreading a false message. So 2 John is about inhospitality. 3 John is about hospitality. But in both cases, it's about the truth. If it's a false truth, a false message, a false gospel, we're not to help them. If it's the gospel, the truth, we are to help them. So here in 3 John, we have, I believe, traveling truth teachers. Traveling truth teachers. We might call them, in our context, missionaries and evangelists. As long as church is made up of fallen human beings, there will be problems in church. This church, in our text, was no exception. You had a troublemaker who bullied others in the congregation. Now, this book ties into something we saw last week. We looked at Acts 13, how they sent them out. And then in Acts 14, we saw how they came back to the church at Antioch to give a report. I believe that is what has happened here. These traveling itinerant preachers, teachers, missionaries had come back to their home church and reported on how they were received at this church that John is addressing. They reported how well they had been received and treated, particularly by Gaius and this congregation, or at least most of this congregation. So we start very simply with a word of introduction from John. A word of introduction from John the Elder. Look at verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Now, what jumps out in this day and age is the possibility of your soul prospering while your health is not. Notice what he says. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. In other words, your soul's prospering. I would pray that your health would be just like that. But it obviously means that it's possible that your soul could prosper and your health not be like that. To me, this flies in the face of the health and wealth prosperity crowd that says, well, if you're right with God, then you're going to be healthy and wealthy and blessed. John didn't feel that way. He said, you're right with God. your soul's prospering, and I pray that your health would be the same way. But it might not be. The two are not linked. Spiritual blessing has nothing to do with healing or prosperity. As a pastor, John was mostly concerned with Gaius' spiritual well-being. Look at verse 4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Again, he didn't say, I have no greater joy than this, than to hear my children are experiencing miraculous healings. No, he said, I have no greater joy than this, than to hear that you're actually walking in truth. That is soul prospering. That is being truly spiritual. And he had a way, by the way, of gauging that. Look at verse 3. How did he know his soul was prospering? Okay, verse 3. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is how you were walking in truth. All right? He knew Gaius' soul was prospering because he'd gotten a report that Gaius was walking in truth. These brethren, verse 3, notice that word. These brethren, verse 5. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren. Okay, so there's these brethren that had reported to John how Gaius was walking in truth. And John said, your soul is prospering. But you'll notice these brethren, it says in verse 5, and especially when they are strangers. So they weren't people who were in that congregation. Okay, they were unknown originally to Gaius, to the church here, but they had met through them traveling through the area with the gospel. Verse 7, for they went out for the sake of the name. Okay, we'd call them missionaries. They've gone out for the sake of the name of Jesus, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They've gone out to help fulfill the Great Commission. They went out. And as they were going out, they came to this church. And Gaius treated them in a manner, we'll see, worthy of God. Verse 6. You do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. John is writing in response to some missionaries' reports. John is writing this letter in response to the brothers' reports of what happened when they passed through this church. So it begins with a word of introduction from John, the elder. But John begins with a word of appreciation for Gaius. A word of appreciation, verses 5 through 8. John was impressed. John appreciated how well he had treated these strangers, these traveling preachers, these fellow workers. So this begs the question, how Gaius had treated them. What criteria does John use to determine that he had treated them so well? Verse 5. Beloved, you are acting faithfully. Faithfully. I think there's two implications there to faithfully. Number one is it wasn't hit or miss. Okay. If they were going to help this missionary, they helped them. It was done faithfully. If they agreed to continue their support and support them further down the road, they were faithful. But I think faithfully also implies that it was done because of their faith. Faith in the name, again, verse 7. They went out for the sake of the name. It was this church's faith in the name of Christ that motivated them to faithfully support these people. It was also done lovingly, verse 6. And they have testified of your love before the church. Now, the church would be the church that they came back to with their report, all right, which John was party to. So the church that he's talking about there is their sending church, I think. And they went back and they reported that in this church with Gaius, they felt loved. Now, of course, this gets John's attention because what is John's nickname? John is the apostle of love, right? So he's very sensitive to this idea, and he was very impressed that they felt loved. Now we're going to look next week, but we're going to come back to this passage next week and look at it in a different light, okay, in the light of local church polity. Because even though we call John the apostle of love, if you read this passage and many others, John really was the apostle of truth. What he was mostly impressed with in this passage is truth. And we're going to talk about that next week. But nevertheless, he was impressed that Gaius loved the Lord and the Lord's servants. Also, helpfully, you do well to send them on their way or to help them on their way. They had helped them in their travels. They had helped them in their desire to spread the gospel. This was a very common theme in the New Testament, this helping along the way. Keep your hand here. Let's just look at a few examples. Acts 15. Now, again, we looked at Acts 13 last week, and we looked at Acts 14. Acts 13, they're sent out. In Acts 14, they came back with a report. But notice Acts 15, verse 3. Because we know they also went out again, right? It repeated itself. Verse 3, Acts 15, 3. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. When the people, the congregations, heard how God was saving the Gentiles, which we'll see a tie-in in 3 John, right? They went out to the Gentiles. They rejoice. But notice the phrase in verse 3, therefore being sent on their way by the church. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15, 24. Whenever I go to Spain, now this is Paul writing to the church at Rome, okay. Whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing, he would go through Rome on his way, and to be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. So, again, Paul believed that the church at Rome would help send him on his way to Spain. We don't know if he arrived there. In fact, we know he did not because of what happened in Rome. But nevertheless, he expected them to help him on his way, just like Acts 15, helped on the way. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 6. And perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. Now again, send on the way doesn't mean, you know, you booted him out the door. Although that is what he told him to do in 2 John, the false teachers, right? Boot him out the door. But he's talking about here is helping them get to their next destination. So if they're going to, well, John wanted to go to Spain. Or I'm sorry, Paul wanted to go to Spain. They were to help him get to Spain and minister in Spain. But one last example, Titus 3:13. Titus 3:13. Diligently help Zenas, this is Titus 3:13. Diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, now notice, so that nothing is lacking for them. So again, we see that this involved more than just moral support. It involved financial support, assistance. Again, this is a very common theme as you read through the New Testament. We're to help them on their way. So how did he treat missionaries well? Well, faithfully, lovingly, helpfully, expectantly. I'll go back to 3 John, verse 6. Expectantly. Because you'll notice a subtle change in tense here. He had helped, but notice verse 6. And they have testified of your love before the church. That's past. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. You will do well. What's that mean? There's probably more coming. Expect some more, right? Expect some more. You will do, because I know you will do this, because there's somebody else coming to help. And we'll, by the way, we'll see who that is in a minute. But lastly, it was spiritually, faithfully, lovingly, helpfully, expectantly. And verse 6, send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Now that really elevates the importance of sending our missionaries. We're to do it in a way that you would consider God to be worthy. Whose name are they taking? We're taking the name of Jesus. We should support them in a way that's worthy of that commission, of taking the name of Christ, particularly, verse 7, the Gentiles, okay, non-Jewish people. The church at Jerusalem, remember I told you about the book of Acts, divides in half, chapters 1 through 12, centered in Jerusalem, working among Jewish people, chapters 13 through 24, in Antioch, working among Gentiles. Now, how do we know they took the gospel to the Gentiles? You're looking at us. Right? I'm not. Are you Jewish? Maybe you are. I'm not. Right? They took the gospel to Gentiles because here we are. And what are we to do? Send them on their way. Take the gospel to more Gentiles. Or to Jews. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Right? Well, what was the missionary's obligation? Okay, they have an obligation. Verse 7. For they went out for the sake of the name. They had a spiritual motive. All right, they went out for Christ's glory. They had a spiritual motive. They weren't going out for their own sake. We, in Bible college, we have a phrase. They had a phrase they used a lot. Mama called and Daddy sent. What that meant was there were some who seemed to be going into ministry because Mom wanted them to and Daddy was paying the way. Mama called and Daddy sent. They're not going because their Mama called and Daddy sent. They're going because Christ is worth whatever it takes to deliver that message. So they had a spiritual motive. Number two, they had a scriptural method. Now here's a scriptural method. Verse 7. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles, taking nothing from the people to whom they were trying to reach. Okay. Now, there's a lot of other to deal with about that and a lot of other discussion. But they weren't going at the expense of the people that they were trying to reach. They were going at the expense of the people that had been reached. Okay. They weren't charging for the free gospel. They weren't charging for the free gospel. So verse 8 sums that up. Therefore, there's our good word, therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers in the truth. And we, meaning John's including himself, it's including everybody. It's including us. We ought to support these type of people. Because we could be fellow workers. But I love verse 8. So that we may be fellow workers, not with them, with what? The truth. Sending, being a sending church, is a very high calling. It is walking in the truth. It's a soul prospering experience. So again, verse 5, whatever you accomplish, whatever you can do, if it's just a meal and some gas money or a place to stay, so be it. If it can be ongoing support, even better. But not everybody feels this way. Number 3, There's a word of condemnation for Diotrephes. Verse 9. I wrote something to the church. John had written another letter. But Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who want to, who desires to do so, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate this, what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil is not seen by God. So what's this guy's problem? Well, it's a love problem. Gaius loved the truth. Right? Verse 4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children are walking in the truth. Diotrephes loved attention. He loved attention. Verse 9. I wrote some in the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. Now, John doesn't say Diotrephes was a heretic, just that he wanted his own way. Diotrephes was not missions-minded. He would not accept John's letter of recommendation. Worse yet, he wants to excommunicate anyone who does want to help them. It's bad enough that he said, well, I'm not going to support him. He said, if you support him, I'm going to try to put you out of the church. Now, as I said, we're going to come back to this book next week and look at these other issues. But John is pretty blunt about his opinion. Verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Well, what's evil? Diotrephes. Okay. Don't be evil like Diotrephes, who loves to have attention. And if you disagree with him, he tries to kick you out of church. Don't be like that. And we close with a word of recommendation for Demetrius. Well, who's Demetrius? Where did he come from? Well, he was probably the one who brought Gaius this letter. Verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. All of a sudden, we're introduced to this new character. His name's Demetrius. Well, where'd he come from? Who is he? Well, he brought this letter from Gaius, to Gaius from John. But more importantly, let's just put it into context. Demetrius was another missionary who had arrived at the church. Right? Here's another stranger to help. That's what he's saying. Here's another stranger to help. He's got a good report. We've sent this letter of recommendation. I testify. The church back home testifies. He is worthy of helping on his way in a manner worthy of God. So John says, I know Diotrephes ain't going to do it. But Gaius, I know you will. I know you will. So verse 6. For they have testified your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way. Who is that? It's Demetrius. This is his letter of recommendation. Now, I'll just close with this thought. Look at verse 13. I had many things to write to you, but I'm not willing to write them to you in pen and ink. I hope to see you shortly, and I will speak face to face. All right. Now, keep in mind what he said back in verse 10. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, justly accusing us of wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. So here's what John is saying. Yes, I'm going to come. I want to talk to you face to face and thank you for what you've done. But he's also saying, Dr. Feast, I'm coming for you too, brother. We're going to have a face-to-face. But of all the things John could have written about, here's my point, okay? Of all the things John could have written about, the Holy Spirit chose this topic. How well do you send them on their way? Gaius got a good report. Diotrephes did not. Which of these people best describe you? Would you get a good report? Let's pray. Now, Lord, as we just talked about last week, our missions giving is kind of divided into tiers, priorities. We have three families that are members of our church. We've sent them out ourselves. We don't give all their support. We support them as much as we're able, but they need other support. They went to other churches. They went to other individuals. They raised more support. We want to faithfully support them to the best of our ability. But Lord, it's a cooperative effort. It takes other churches. And then Lord, the other missionaries are not members of our church, but they're missionaries that we help support too. They have a sending church. And Lord, we do this through the offerings. As we said last week, almost 25% of our giving goes towards missions and missionaries. So when people put a dollar in the offering, a quarter helps us send them on their way and keep them so they don't have to take from the Gentiles, the people they're trying to reach. So this church has been faithful, Lord, so faithful in supporting our missionaries. And I have had so many of them tell me that. But Lord, we can only do that because people give. So Lord, we just pray that you'd help us each to be missions minded. Help us to see that your name is worth it. I pray. Amen.